Welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church morning service. We'll open with a hymn, page 227, Saved by the Blood, 227 in the green or the red. You have individual soul liberty for the green or the red. All right. On the first. Sing the bottom line in the chorus there. Go ahead and do that on the last verse. All right.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three and one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Save, save. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Save, save. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Brother Eli, can you open us with a word of prayer?
Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and sing praises to you. Lord, I pray that you would close our minds from the distractions, Lord, and open our minds to you, Lord, and truly sing from our hearts to you. For your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The next hymn, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, that's 150 in the green or the red.
Faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. At this time, we'll have the announcements.
Everybody, welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church for our morning service. Let's take our bulletins and go through some announcements real quick. If you need a bulletin, just lift up your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. Just keep them raised up right behind you, Mikey. All right. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James chapter 1, verse 22. It's a great scripture there, applying the word of God, not just listening to it. On our inside page there, we have a short message about our church there. And if you need to be saved or baptized, please let one of the ushers know. We'd be happy to go through the scriptures with you or scripturally baptize you. Our social media, you can find our church, anything about our preaching or messages are on those social media sites listed there. The Bible Way to Heaven QR code is right there. You could also just listen to that. Scan it with your phone and listen to that if you're not 100% sure you're saved. And just I go through the scriptures in the video there and show you how the plan of salvation. Our service times are 10:30 a.m. for our Sunday morning service. Sunday evening service is 3:30 p.m. Our Thursday Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. And our soul winning times are listed there below. We have soul winning today at 1 o'clock. Brother Alex is leading right there, so get with him. I think we only have one group going out, so, one location, one group, so just get with Brother Alex. Meeting here at the auditorium at 1 p.m. If you're planning on going out from here, or just meet on location at the group, at the map provided in the WhatsApp group. Our praise report, you can see the salvations, baptisms, and attendance totals from last week, and the upcoming events. I just wanted to put a note in there for our new service time starting in Seattle in August, and our Sunday morning services up there will begin at 11 a.m. and our evening service will be at 4 p.m. and we have the building starting at 10:30 all day on Sunday. That room that we meet in, and we have access to the kitchen and the mother baby room and all that stuff. The mother baby room times are kind of different, but we do have access to it. Anyway, God answered our prayers on that, so we did have like a really early Sunday morning time, and Catholics like that time, but I don't think Baptists do. So we're more 11 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. people. So let's see, July 4th, we do not have service this Thursday, so just make a special note of that. You might be in the habit of just being here every Thursday, and that's good, but we won't be here. So the rapture didn't happen. It happens after the tribulation, so if you show up Thursday and you just forgot, We're actually having church this Tuesday, so in a few days here, a couple days, we'll be having church again. So that's going to be our midweek service here. Bible Believers Baptist Church's anniversary is coming up. It's going to be on July 5th, so this Friday, we're going to have a special service at 6 p.m. at the church building there. Evangelist Daniel Kutzar will be preaching for us at 6 p.m. And then we're going to have a soul winning marathon on Saturday and all the usual things. We're going to meet at the church, though, for coffee and donuts or whatever kind of continental breakfast style stuff that we'll have. And then we'll have lunch provided. We'll probably meet at a restaurant or have it catered to the building. And then we'll have some afternoon soul winning. I'll try to pick some good spots for us to go to, and then we'll have the regular preaching there on Sunday morning. And can I get a show of hands of people that are planning on actually going to Yakima? Okay, all right. Yes, you're going? Okay, cool, all right. So, if you're planning on going, just, I might just ask again in the WhatsApp group so I can remember, because I might have got your hands there. I pretty much will be able to remember that, but, I might Biden out and not remember who all said raise their hands. But anyway, so I'll be like him in the debate that night. So anyway, the 26th and the 28th is going to be our 6-year anniversary. And I did kind of lock in the details of that last night. So our evangelist in Vancouver, BC, Brother Wynn Fisher, is going to be here to preach for us on Friday night. And so that'll be the 26th. We have a big group coming down from Seattle. And then we're going to have some soul winning. We're going to have a barbecue here like we did last year. And I need to procure the bounce house. I don't know if we're going to do the old rodeo thing or not, but that got ugly. But definitely do the bounce house, and we're probably going to play some cornhole. We got the cornhole games, and I know that Brother Wynn is really competitive up there at their church, so you might want to get some practice in. But we'll just have a good time fellowshipping here at the church building and have some fun for the kids and have a barbecue. So anybody wants to volunteer to be on the barbecue, CJ and Brother Sean, we'll get some good burgers, we'll get some good dogs, get some good stuff to eat. So it'll be a blessing to celebrate our 6-year anniversary. And then all the other stuff, the other stuff is coming off way into the distance, but just mark your calendars for that. We're a family-integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. Please utilize those rooms for your convenience. And all the other rules are there. Please silence your cell phones or place them on airplane mode for the service. Tithes and offerings that came in so far this month are at the bottom of the page. And then it's Miss Candace's birthday tomorrow, and Ezra Ritchie's birthday the 2nd, and then CJ and Rachel Woods, your anniversary is Saturday? Is that right? Okay. So we'll sing happy anniversary to the Woods because we won't be here. We'll be in Yakima. And then Tony needs to come out of the booth right now because we didn't get to sing happy anniversary to him and Jazzy. So come on out, Tony. Sit with your wife. Hey. Yes. That's part of the fun for me. Sorry, Brother Tony. 7 years, Tony. Man, it's been a while. Time flies, yeah. So, all right, let's go ahead and sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary.
Sing happy anniversary to Sarah and Ryan. I thought we did. You see, lying? Okay. All right. You couldn't lie to your. Don't lie to your pastor. It's not right now. And then CJ and Rachel, how long have you been married now?
11 years.
Wow! Congratulations. All right. Well, let's go ahead and sing another song, and then we're gonna receive the offering after that.
All right. There won't be an altar call after "Just As I Am," but it's never a bad time to get right in your heart. All right. Number 270 in the green or the red, just as I am. Come forward. Brother Mikey, can you bless the offering?
Father, thank you for bringing us all together.
Thank you. All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible under the seat in front of you. 2 Corinthians 2. Second Corinthians 2, the Bible reads, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Brother Eli, will you pray for us?
Amen. Well, before I get started, I just wanted to say that today is, I'm just going to be preaching a message about religious liberty. So I figured it was, you know, we're not going to have church on Thursday, so because we don't want to drive into Saigon after the service is over. So I figured it'd be appropriate to preach, you know, something about liberty, because we live in a land that proclaims that it believes in liberty, and a lot of our liberties are being taken away, and they're always constantly challenging the laws of our land to try to interpret them. People will say that the Constitution is a living document, but really the only real living document is the Bible. Amen. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Bible is the only thing that's so quick means alive. So the Bible claims that it's alive, and it can discern our intents, it can discern our heart. So when we read it and we get convicted, or we hear the Bible preached, it is supposed to affect us and admonish us to do what's right, to get sin out of our lives. And, you know, when we think about liberty, we probably do think about the liberties that we have in the United States. And in reality, you know, the only thing that really gives us true liberty is the Spirit of God. Look down at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 in your Bible there. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Now, each and every one of us, if you're saved today, we have the Spirit of the Lord indwelling us. That is the promise in the New Testament, that we would have the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord cannot depart from us. We cannot lose the Spirit through sin. We can grieve the Spirit. We can, you know, make the Spirit of God angry. We can have God angry at us, but we can never lose the Spirit of God. So it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we do have liberty in Christ Jesus our Lord, and He has given us the Comforter, which He calls the Spirit of God. The term liberty is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So when you think about like Moses and the children of Israel, it's a good picture of that, you know, the Egypt being a picture of the world. And when the children of Israel were freed, it's like they were freed from the world, from sin. And God's design was to take them after salvation and take them into the promised land. And then obviously in that picture's, you know, going in and conquering the land for Christ. And that's when you see Joshua in the New Testament. He pictures Christ. And his name is actually the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. And they just didn't have the sh sound in the New Testament in Greek. So anyway, that's why his name appears different in the New Testament. So anyway, that's not what I'm preaching about. But now, when it means we have liberty, where we have liberty is we're no longer slaves to sin. And we're no longer enslaved in our mind. The devil, the Bible talks about how the devil has trapped people. He's enslaved people at his will to basically to the system that he's designed in this world, because the Bible says that he is the God of this world. Small g, right? And because he is the God of this world, he has a lot of freedom to enslave people. And those people that aren't saved, he can pretty much do a lot of things that he wants to do with them because they are not free. But we are free from the devil. We're free from sin. And even if we were in prison for our beliefs, even if someone told you, you can't believe that, our minds are belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the new man. We have a new mind. We have a new heart as we are saved. And so people could tell us, hey, you can't believe that, or you shouldn't believe that. But our minds are free to serve Christ. Our body could someday not be free to serve Christ, but our mind, they can't take that away from us. They cannot take away the liberty that we have and what we believe. They cannot take away our belief in Christ. That's just something that this world can never do. We're free to serve God as He intended. Now, the difference between like what the liberty that the United States talks about, it does have the intention of the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. That is part of what the United States picture of liberty is, but it's also the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. Now, that's all true too, but there should be a restriction on people's behavior, okay? But the behavior restrictions have gotten way looser. There should be law and order. You know, people say the life, you know, the pursuit of happiness is one of the things that we get to enjoy as Americans, but they've taken that pretty far. You know, when people are dressing up in dog masks and pretending like they're animals and, you know, just all the weird stuff that we see in this world now, that is not what is intended by liberty. I mean, people are like, well, what people do in the privacy of their own homes, but they're not doing it in the privacy of their own homes. Now that they're out of the closet, now they're out of the darkness and into the light, they're out in full view of everybody. They want to just show everybody what they really are. And then people are just like, wow, I really don't want to see that. And they're like, no, you will see it. We won't force you to see it, you know. And I'm glad that we haven't had to see as much this month as we have in times past. I think that Bud Light losing all that money really did, they really did get together and they said, you know what, maybe we went too far with this. Target was like, yeah, maybe we should stop selling pride clothes for little kids. And they lost a lot of money. So, you know, they kind of got the picture, maybe we should just dial this back a little bit. But this is how agendas, you know, become, this is how they work. They'll go two steps forward and one step back. So it's not as much now, but they just went full tilt And then people freaked out and were like, okay, this is enough. You know, when you're putting a transvestite on a beer can, that you've gone too far. But I would say they went way too far, you know, the last several years in a row. But anyway, I'm preaching about that tonight, so I don't want to get off too much on that. But what made me think, my wife actually kind of gave me the idea to preach this sermon. And there was a lot of religious liberty top things that we had to deal with last week. And a lot of the things that we have to deal with are people calling us, or specifically calling me, and saying, do you know that you have all these women and children and all these people on our property, and they're knocking on people's doors, and they're telling us, you know, they're inviting people to church. Can you believe this? It's like, yeah, I mean, they're sent there. We have all these signs. And, you know, we had to, Miss Crystal had to deal with this top-tier Karen boss last week. She was like level 10 on the Karen boss spectrum. And she was an older woman. I don't know if maybe she was, someone said that she might have been in her 70s, but maybe 60s, 70s. But she like gets face to face with Miss Crystal, calling her a liar, screaming at her at the top of her lungs, making her children cry who are in tow with her, and, you know, just flipping out, full Karen boss. We need to start recording these people and just, you know, posting them on the internet and shaming them. Because this is just ridiculous. And this person called me a couple times. And the first time, I didn't answer, and they called me from a different number. And so they called me from a different number and then chewed me out because they'd already left a message that day and whatever. I was just like, whatever. They said that the little kids were out of control and just all this stuff. And I don't know all the details of everything that was said. But what I do know is that my wife had to kind of jump in between and be like, hey, you need to stop. And then she's screaming at them as they're walking out of the complex at the top of her lungs. And it's like a condominium or something. But you know, she called me and left all these messages. And I'll tell you later on about the phone call and the sermon, a little bit more about it. But I also had another, it was like a Ken. You know, he's a Ken. You know, he wasn't a top 10, you know, Ken, but he was like maybe a 6.5. He was a maintenance man. You know, we deal with a lot of these maintenance men when we're out, and they just seem to think that they're now the security boss of the complex, and they take it upon themselves to enforce the rules that we're not supposed to be there soliciting. Well, we're not soliciting, and by the law, we're not soliciting. By the Supreme Court, which ruled in our favor, we're not soliciting. So I spoke with that individual on the phone, and he's telling me the same thing. All these kids are out here, and it's pandemonium. You know, he's just like, and I think that when they think that they call me, that I'm going to give them this answer like, oh, well, I'll just straighten this out right now. Because this is what people think. I want to talk to the manager. This is what Karens and Kens do. They want to talk to the manager, and the manager's going to say the customer's always right. But this is a church, okay? When you want to talk to the manager's going to tell you how it is. Whether you're male or female, I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what the law says. And they just seem to think that because they put up a sign that says no trespassing, no soliciting, that means that they can just treat us however they want, or do whatever they want, and that's just not true. Right. You can't just walk around, you can't touch people, you can't get in their face, you can't follow them around and disrupt them while they're doing something that this country has said we can do, our Constitution and the Bill of Rights says that we can do, and more importantly, what the Bible says we can do.
Amen.
So we do have liberty in this country, and we are blessed to live in a nation where we do have freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. And there's discrimination laws that have been passed in this country that you can't discriminate against people based upon their religion. But, you know, there's all these laws about this stuff, but when it comes to Christianity, they do want to cut us short. They do want to say, oh, but we didn't mean Christianity. It's Muslim. Oh, let's treat the Muslims with all this respect. Let's let them do what they want. Let's let any other religion, but Christians, no way. And they'll even pass legislation I preached about the House Bill 6090, where they say specifically that if you say that the Jews killed Jesus, that is, you know, anti-Semitic and against the law. And it hasn't passed the Senate. And even if it does, we'll still preach the same thing.
Amen.
Because we have freedom of speech. They can pass whatever law they want. But if it's against the Constitution, against the Bill of Rights, it's null and void.
That's
right. So as Christians living in the United States, we do have amazing freedoms. We have a lot of, we have amazing freedoms. We have amazing liberty. And that liberty does come from the Spirit of God Almighty. And in our church, we have liberty. We have liberty to preach what we want and to go unmolested, supposedly, to preach the gospel. There's a lot of nations on this earth, like North Korea, for instance. You can't believe whatever you want. You're to believe whatever the state tells you to believe. They're indoctrinated from a very early age. You know, they have to worship their leader, who's Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is, that little short, fat guy that rides around on horses and looks stupid. And if you're caught practicing Christianity, they beat you, they throw you in camps, or they just murder you. If you're caught, you can't even escape. It's like a total police state type country. And if you're caught it's trying to escape, they'll kill you. They'll kill you, or they'll capture you and put you in hard labor, making big rocks into little rocks. And so we have a lot of, you know, and that's the extreme, of course, but there's a lot of countries that, you know, and here's the thing, if you don't use the liberty that you have, if you don't use the freedom that you have, if you don't fight for that freedom, and I'm not saying we should take up arms or fight physically, but if we don't fight and just use our words and use our rights as Christians, we will lose them. And this is what's happening in this country, is that pastors are too afraid to stand up and say what the Bible says. And that's why all this stuff is happening in our country. Preachers, stop preaching the truth. Preachers, stop preaching what the Bible says. I almost got arrested one time for knocking on doors a long time ago when I went to a church in Hazeldome. And my pastor would have been mad if I would have got arrested. That's the only reason why I didn't get arrested, because I felt like, this guy's going to arrest me for what? Preaching the gospel? And at that time, I was a little ignorant. I was a pretty fairly new Christian. Maybe I'd been saved for like a year and a half, 2 years or something. And I was really surprised that the supposed apartment managers saying they were Christians, but then calling the police on me. And I was just like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm trying to get people saved here. And you're saying you're a Christian, you're going to throw me out? And they're just like, yeah, there's no soliciting here, whatever. This is before, you know, that law was passed, before the Supreme Court ruled on that ruling. So it was before that happened. But as a pastor, I want to back up my people. If you're doing what's right, and you're doing what the Bible says,
amen,
you're striving lawfully, then when apartment manager Karen, top 10 tier Karen, calls me, I'm going to stand up for my people and tell them, I'm not going to go, oh, the customer's always right. I'm going to say, no, you're wrong. Our country allows religious liberty. Our country allows free speech. You don't pay their rent, Karen.
Right.
And so you don't have the right to tell them what they can and can't believe. You don't speak for the whole apartment complex. She's not an apartment manager. I asked her that. Are you the apartment manager? No. I said, well, then you don't have the right to tell them to leave. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. And neither does the maintenance manager. I said, well, go fix something, buddy. Why don't you just go fix something? I mean, is that your job description? To harass Christians that come and knock on people's doors? No. Your job description is probably fix stuff. Fix the leaky faucet. Fix the carpet. Fix the apartment that somebody else trashed, or whatever it is your job is to do. It's maintenance. It's not security. So we're you know, what we are allowed to say in our world today is getting more restrictive. They don't even want us to say certain words. When I was a kid, calling people fag was just a normal thing. It wasn't like, oh, I can't believe you said that. It was just normal. Like, that's what our friends would call each other that on the playground. Oh, you fag, you know, whatever. Now it's just like, oh, I can't believe you said that. It's like saying the N-word. No, it's not, because, you know, black people were born black. They can't help that. And to call them a derogatory term is just wrong, because it's wicked. It's wicked to be a racist. But they're not born that way. They become that way because God gives them over to the reprobate mind. So, people are like, well, that's offensive. You should use terms that aren't offensive. Well, they call themselves queers, don't they? So if it's not offensive for it's in their little moniker. It's LGBTQ, that stands for queer. So if I call them queers, is that offensive to them? No. If I call them homos, that's just short for homosexuals. Is that offensive? No, it's not offensive. If I call them sodomites, is that offensive? They don't even know what it means. But when I say faggot, everybody knows exactly what that means. So, and they're just trying to say, you can't say these certain things. You can't say whore. You know, and people like condemn me for saying speech like that from the pulpit, but the Bible uses the word piss. The Bible uses the word bastard. The Bible uses the word whore. The Bible uses the word whoremonger. The Bible uses the word drunkard. It's not I have an addiction problem. It's you're a drunkard. You're a drunk. The Bible has some strong language in it, and we shouldn't be shying away from what the Bible says. Amen. We shouldn't be just like, oh, well, that word for this time. No, the Bible's timeless.
Amen.
The Bible, you know, to say the word bastard, you know, it just means an illegitimate child. Well, just say that then. No, because bastard has a negative connotation to it. That's why people don't want us to say it, because it means something negative. We should never just say anything negative. You know, and it's, you know, don't ever say the word hate. Well, the word hate is in the Bible plenty of times. You know what? Sometimes God hates people, not just sin. God actually does hate people.
Amen.
I'm not preaching about that today, though. But all I'm just saying this, is that in our world today, they're trying to stop us from saying things that are offensive. They don't want us to say illegal alien. They want us to say undocumented person. They don't want us to say homeless or derelict or bum. They want us to say experiencing houselessness. I mean, they're experiencing houselessness. They're a bum. They're homeless. I mean, that's what they are. They're drug addicted homeless people. We're in America, folks. We're the richest nation on the face of the planet. People can find jobs if they really want to. So I'm not buying that. Are there some exceptions to the rule? I'm sure that there are. Someone that just couldn't afford to live in their place anymore, I get it. Not down on those people. I'm talking about the people that want to be out there on purpose. So, and if Christians don't wake up today and stop being a little scared of their own shadow preachers and people just stop, we need to stand up for Jesus. You know that song, stand up for Jesus. It's not just talking about just standing up. It's talking about standing up for Jesus and not just letting people mock and blaspheme him in our presence all the time. And I'm not saying to get physical. Again, it's not a carnal war that we're in. We're in a spiritual battle. So I just want to take a look at a few liberties that we have as citizens of the United States and as we've been commanded by our Lord to do. We have liberty in Christ to do and keep his commandments. That's above everything. That's above any civil government that we have on the face of the planet. But we also have rights from our government also. The First Amendment is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So there's not to be a one religion, like the Church of England is the religion of England. Now they allow other churches to be there, but there was a time when no other churches were allowed to exist, basically. Catholicism was banned, and it was just the Church of England alone. And so, but they are established, they're sponsored by the state of England, or the Church of England, or excuse me, the government of England to be, you know, so they're appointed by the king. The king is over the church. And that's just not, the Bible doesn't teach that. So, but the First Amendment teaches that we're not supposed to establish a religion. So Baptist is not the national religion of the United States. It says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So the First Amendment says we are have the free exercise of religion. Freedom of religion. It's in the First Amendment. So what does our religion teach? That we are allowed to preach the Bible. God, Jesus said, what you hear in darkness, preach on the housetops.
Amen.
Right. We have the ability to preach what we want. What the Bible says, we can preach. And we have a commission to preach the gospel to every creature and to go door to door and preach the gospel. Amen. That is the way the Apostle Paul turned the world upside down, is by going door to door, daily and in every house.
Yep.
Right? So, and it says, or abridging the freedom of speech. What is abridging? Have you ever had like, this is the abridged version of this book? It's where they take out and they just put like, they don't put everything in the book. They shorten it down. They cut it short, right? They just give you kind of the main things of the book. So we're not supposed to have abridged freedom of speech. That means we can say what we want.
Amen.
That means we can say whatever we want. So, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. It says, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. It's not just that we have the right to assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We just have the right to peaceably assemble. Period. So what does the church do? We're peaceably assembling here today. We have the right to do that. They cannot stop us from assembling as a church. This is what our government has given us, these rights. But more importantly, Jesus Christ gave us these rights.
Amen.
The Second Amendment is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But what happens today? They're always trying to infringe on these rights, aren't they? Oh, you can only have 10 rounds in your magazine or whatever. It's like, well, do you really need that AR-15 to go duck hunting? Well, first of all, I would never use an AR-15 to go duck hunting, because you're going to blow all the meat up. But if I wanted to, if I had that red dot on there, it'd probably be, you know, a nice headshot. You don't harm the body at all. Just head goes. I mean, it might be practical in some settings, but you know, most people use shotguns, right? When they're hunting bird or any kind of fowl, right? So, but the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means we are allowed to have weapons. And it doesn't say that it shall not be infringed. So when they're making all these rules and regulations about our guns, that's not under the Second Amendment. They're breaking the Constitution Amendment, the Second Amendment. So you're like, well, what about automatic weapons? Why do we need automatic weapons? Well, you know, because if the government goes bad, the idea was, just like the Founding Fathers when they revolted against England, they took up arms and fought. So we have the same mindset. If our government was to go bad, then we would be able to do the same thing. But, you know, they kind of made it so lopsided now that we would never stand a chance. But good luck taking everybody's guns away from them. I mean, they're really trying hard to make this happen, and they do really try hard to restrict everything. But, you know, the government, like I said, everything's always trying to be infringed upon. They're always trying to curb our speech. They're always trying to curb what we can do in our religion.
Yep.
And these bosses at these apartment complexes and these housing authorities and all these other, what do you call those, the HOAs?
HOA, yep.
The HOA bosses?
Yep.
They're usually Karens and Kens too. I mean, we had an HOA person punch one of our church members before. I mean, that's how crazy they get. So I wanted to read you the 1964 Anti-Discrimination Act. It says, this law makes it illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, or sex. The law also makes it illegal to retaliate against a person because the person complained about the discrimination, filed a charge of discrimination, or participated in an employment discrimination investigation or lawsuit. The law also requires that employers reasonably accommodate applicants and employees' sincerely held religious practices, unless doing so would impose an undue hardship on the operation of the employer's business. So people that really do go to church on Sunday should be able to get that Sunday off. That's, I mean, unless it's some undue hardship upon the business. But, you know, I mean, they'll let people pray, Muslims pray five times a day, wear their, you know, their headgear, their Cobra Commander outfit to the, you know, I mean, 9/11 was supposedly carried out by all these Saudi terrorists and stuff, but then you see Cobra Commander and his wife get on, or you see some guy get on with all of his children and his wife is Cobra Commander. So they're the last people to get on the plane. It's like, you know, it's kind of a scary situation. It's almost as scary as you see that the woman is the pilot on the plane. It's like, can I get off this flight now and just rebook? That's a joke, but kind of. Anyway, you're not supposed to be able to discriminate against people because of their religion, but they do. I mean, my work tried to fire me over it. They brought me in front of the council, and they tried to fire me. But you know what I did? I brought in the First Amendment. I brought in this law. And actually, if you really dig deeper into the 1964 Anti-Discrimination Act, it says if it's a new religion that just came about today, and you're practicing that religion, they don't have the right to discriminate against that. And my defense was I said, I don't belong to a new religion. I belong to the religion called Christianity, which is a well-known and established religion. And I said, the things that I believe are things that are in the Bible. And then I preached Leviticus 20:13 to them. And I preached several other passages like Romans 1. You know, I'm preaching this, and it's like, I'm not saying I'm Paul, but I said, I felt like Paul preaching in front of this council of people. But I wanted them to see that I'm not afraid to stand up for my rights. Amen. I said, if you try to fire me, I'm going to sue you. Yep. I'm going to sue you because you're breaking the law. You're violating my rights. Yep. Under the Constitution. You're violating the 1964 Discrimination Act. So if anybody in this room ever gets fired for what you believe, then just throw this stuff in their face. Because that changed the temperature in the room real quick. They're like, can we get a copy of that stuff? What, you didn't know the Constitution said that? You didn't know about the 19... You know, it always applies to everybody else, but when a Christian brings it up, they're like, oh, we didn't know that was in there. As they're showing me a montage of my greatest clips in front of me, in front of my union stewards and stuff. I'm like, can I get some popcorn and a Coke here? Can I get a copy of this? This is pretty good. But that's what, I mean, they're just like, did you say this? I mean, you watched it. But it was carefully clipped. Like my Massa sermon, when I preached that sermon, I started off with a story about how these two lesbians drove all these five kids off the cliff and drugged the dogs too. They killed them all. They drove off a cliff in California and killed all these kids because they were abusing them. And then I said, they deserve the death penalty and they're wicked and all this other stuff. They just put that part in. They didn't put the part about how they used these two lesbian white women, adopted five black children, and had them pose in these pictures, and they were just basically using them for social media clout. But behind closed doors, they were beating them, starving them. They'd already been charged in Minnesota. That's why they moved from Minnesota to Portland and from Portland to Woodland. And they moved across the street from my family friends of ours. And one girl was starved so bad that she literally jumped out the top story window of her house and ran to the neighbor's house and said, please, can I get some food? They're starving us. And then, you know, the pit bosses come over and grab her before they can do anything to help. And so instead of facing the music that they were going to face for abusing these kids, they decided, let's just murder them and kill ourselves too. And so, but I'm the bad guy because I preach that they should kill themselves. The people that do those things should kill themselves and not kill the kids. Why not? Why? I mean, they're such evil reprobates that they killed the kids and the dog. I mean, the dog wasn't even precious in their eyes. People get more, they probably get more upset about the dogs getting killed than the kids in our weird world that we live in.
Yeah.
So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So in Joshua chapter 1, in the Old Testament, we have Joshua being commissioned by God after Moses dies. And of course, again, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joshua is, and the commission is given to him by God, just like Jesus in the New Testament is commissioned by God, right? Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." So who spoke to Joshua and through Joshua? It was Moses. So when Joshua takes over, you know, it's picturing the taking over from going from the law to the New Testament. So now turn to, just keep your finger here in Joshua because we're going to come back to it multiple times. But now just flip over to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. In the Old Testament, God spake to us by prophets. He spoke directly to Moses, and here he's speaking to Joshua. But in the New Testament, he spoke to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Hebrews 1:1. It says, "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." So how have we been spoken to? By his Son. Who did he speak to? Us. "Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So God's spoken to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We had the, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, then we have the words that Christ actually spoke. And of course, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So, I mean, you could basically count the whole thing as the words of Christ. But as he's the heir of all things, he has a job for us to do. So Joshua had a certain commission. He was to go and basically take over the land of Canaan and kill all the residents, basically, and take over and live in their stead, replace them, right? And we have a different agenda here in the New Testament. So, but we do have a commission, just like Joshua had a commission. Joshua was commissioned to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, and we have a commission that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are now sent out to also, not to take men's lives, but to save men's lives. So to turn them from death to life, right? And so we also are trying to conquer the heathen, but it's just a spiritual conquering as opposed to a literal conquering. We're out there trying to kill the old man in them.
Amen.
And through slaying them with the sword of the Spirit and quickening them. So making them alive. We take the sword of the Spirit out there and we present the gospel to people and we kill that old man and give them a new creature with the sword of the Spirit, right? This is our task that we've been given. And like Joshua and the children of Israel, we're commanded to go. So we also are commanded by Christ to go, by Christ Jesus, to preach the gospel, to baptize and teach the Bible. Look at Joshua 1:2. It says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go." And you'll see that. I love that term in the Bible. It says it quite a few times. He says that to Jonah when he tells him to arise, go into Nineveh again and preach the preaching that I bid thee. But he tells Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." So for us in the New Testament, I believe that this scripture holds true for us also, that every place that the sole of our feet touch is also given to us.
Amen.
And we, every place our foot treads, we're allowed to go there because we have a specific unction from the Holy One. We have a specific commission to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. It's not just limited to the promised land like it was for Joshua or for them to, you know, have these certain parameters where they were to go to at that time to conquer the land of Canaan. But we have a different commission now. But it says, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. But that's not so for our cases. So the physical nation of Israel, they had borders, didn't they? But we have no borders. For the people of God in the New Testament, every nation is represented. Every nation has saved people in it. And our commission is a worldwide commission. In the New Testament, we're not limited to a geographic area. Our commission, again, is the whole world. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So when the Karen apartment manager tells you, "What authority do you have to be here?" I have authority. God gave me the authority. He said to go, and I went. That's our authority. We don't need any other authority than that. And really, if we did sneak into North Korea, we do have the authority to go there. Now, you might die the moment you try to walk across the demilitarized zone or whatever. What is it called? Is that what it's called? Yeah. So we have like more troops, I think, in the world stationed there than any place else in the world. At least that was a statistic a while ago. I'm not sure if that's still true. But there's a bunch of American troops on one side, and then there's this you know, stretch of land, and then you have the North Koreans on the other side. So, but we've been commissioned to go and do these things. So if someone says, "Well, you don't have the right to be here," this sign says this. Hey, this sign right here, this sign here says we can go. Our Lord and Savior said we could go. The God of all heaven and earth, the one who made this world, said we can go. And you know what? That does trump any kind of law in this world. And, you know, again, you might get killed for going certain places. And maybe we should go to the places that are actually allowing people in right now. I think that's the smart move. If you're going to instantly die the moment you walk somewhere, you're really not, you know, you're just kind of giving up your life for nothing at that point. I mean, it's not for nothing. If you just want the rewards, yeah, I mean, you're going to get a martyr's reward instantly. So, you know, maybe if you have cancer that you know you're never going to beat, you know, here's some Bibles, you know, whatever. But they'd probably shoot the Bibles and, you know, it'd be worthless. But and it's not going to help them if you can't preach it to them. So anyway, turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15. So Joshua and the children of Israel were commanded to go into the promised land, but Jesus has commanded us to go into the whole world. Mark 16, 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? All the world. You know, all means all, Calvinists, not just, you know, not doing it at all. That's what they believe in, just not preaching at all. People just automatically going to get saved somehow. But preach the gospel to every creature. And so why would we preach the gospel to every creature? Because everybody can be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, and people take this, I got to caveat this real quick, because it says, and is baptized. People go, see, you have to be baptized to be saved. But look at the semicolon after the semicolon. It says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. It's he that believeth not, because salvation is by faith alone. It's not by works. Number three, like God would not forsake Moses and Joshua, Jesus will never forsake us in our time of need either. So we should have great boldness when we go out. And yeah, sometimes soul winning does get a little scary. And, you know, Robert and Crystal's kids were really scared when all that happened. And I understand why, because, you know, people have threatened to throw people in jail and all this other stuff. And I understand why some freak screeching Karen is going to freak some kids out when they're not used to hearing that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, we're at someone's door and some screecher is there just flipping out. You know, it's going to affect kids. But she's in the right, though. You know, we're wrong for just loving people and want to preach the gospel to them. But Joshua 1:5, let's go back to Joshua 1:5. It says in verse 5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." So with this charge that Joshua was given, he said, hey, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And did Moses get in some times of danger where he thought his life was in jeopardy? Yeah, even by his own people. Like, they wanted to stone him more than once. He had people rise up against him in the congregation and try to overthrow him. But God was always on his side. Even his own brother and sister tried to do it. They're like, he married this Ethiopian woman. They're racist or whatever. And he's like, God's like, no. Well, I'll just turn you white as snow. How about that, Miriam? Yeah. And she's like, oh, no, I'm white now. She had to be white for 7 days. So how's that for, you know, you want to be racist? Well, I'll just make you white. How about that? Anyway, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." So again, you know, these are things that really happen, but they are also pictures for us. Hey, we need to be strong also and have a good courage and use the liberty that God has given us and preach with boldness the things that God has had us to proclaim. Now, we're supposed to be nice at the doors and try to get people saved, but you know, when people are flipping out on us like that, I don't have a problem if you're just saying, hey, this is what our rights are. You know, you're infringing upon our rights. How about I just start recording you? How about I call the police on you? And you know what? When we start doing that, then maybe there will be a change. And if there's not, well, hey, at least they knew that a prophet was among them. We're going to get thrown out anyway. But you know what the real blessing was about that? And I was thinking about this, and my wife was telling me about this. So they got Karen'd out of the condos. It wasn't an apartment complex, but it was condos. But coming down, they went back to the other apartment complex that was almost done anyway, or was already done, and they were stopping and talking to people. Nobody was getting saved, but then they stopped these two Chukis teenagers, and she ends up getting two Chukis teenagers saved. And so, think about how God sets things up. Yes. It's like she's out there being bold with her children. That freak just messes with her. She's upset. Her kids are crying. But how does God reward her? How is he still with her? How does he not forsake her? Well, he says, here's a couple kids that need to be saved. Maybe God just orchestrated that so that, you know, she's going to get persecuted because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then she goes down to the place where she's supposed to be for a divine appointment with those young men, and they get saved. And why was there so much opposition? You know, because we got 22 people saved out of that apartment complex. That's why. Yeah. In like a 4-week stretch. I mean, the devil doesn't like us reaping in the land like that. You know, we had 13 people saved on one Thursday. That's an hour soul winning time. That's amazing. Yep. So, you know, God was with that soul winning. God was with Miss Crystal as she was just being bold. Be strong and of a good courage. That's what the Bible says. And that he will not fail us nor forsake us. Matthew chapter 28, I'm not going to have you turn back there, but I'll just read it to you. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, that word lo means it's drawing attention or an interesting or an amazing fact. You know, when the Bible says lo, have you ever thought, well, that's just kind of poetic language or whatever? It kind of is. It's like, and lo, I saw the earth, you know. But Jesus is saying this. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's amazing. That is, you know, draw your attention to that fact. He's saying, lo, look at this. Draw your attention to this. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he's always with us, even unto the end of the world. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Just like he promised that to Joshua, he promised that to Moses. That promises to us in the New Testament for the Great Commission. Yep. He's promised us these things. So when that crazy condo lady comes screaming in your face and your children are crying and scared, he's with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. I am with you always. That's what the Bible says, right? Yep. Until when? Until the end. Amen. So number four, don't turn aside, keep doing the work and abide. Don't turn aside, keep doing the work and abide. Look at Joshua 1:7, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou may, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So there's this this admonition to keep the commandments of God. Now, of course, we're not under the law, but there's a lot of commandments given in the New Testament, isn't there? There's still commandments in the Old Testament. I mean, just because Jesus died on the cross, does that mean we're okay to kill people now? We're okay to just run around murdering people? Is that okay? Is it now it's okay to be a transvestite? Now it's okay to be a sodomite? No, it's not. Those things are still in effect, but we are not under the law. So I would just say, you know, but the Bible says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. His commandments are not grievous unto us. And so if there's commandments in the New Testament, are we supposed to obey them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to obey them. So to say that we should keep God's commandments, there's nothing wrong with saying that. But obviously we don't keep God's commandments for salvation or to prove that we're saved necessarily. Look at verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So keeping God's commandments, reading the Bible, knowing what we believe, this is part of what God wants us to do. And we have the right now in this country to have Bibles. Again, I'll draw you to other countries in the world where the Bible is completely outlawed. Completely outlawed. And you know what? We used to have the Bible and the Ten Commandments in schools. And then they took it out, and then you could just see the statistics of teen pregnancy and fornication and just all the different crime and unwed mothers giving birth and fatherless homes. All these statistics just went up, shot up when they took the Ten Commandments out, shot up when they took prayer out of school, shot up when they took God out of school. And I'm not saying that we should force religion at school. I actually don't even think that public school should exist. Honestly, that's what I think. And now look at public school. I mean, you got a bunch of sodomites teaching kids in public schools. And they'll say, oh, they're not teaching that in school. Yeah, they are. Quit trying to lie. They're just like they're not doing transgender surgeries, right? Even though they just put some hospital put up, oh, this is such and such with these transgender surgeries, and then they deleted the video because, you know, they're supposedly not doing them. But they're doing them. Gender affirming care for minors, that's what they call it. What does that mean? Well, they're chopping body parts off and adding body parts that didn't exist before. That's what it is. Or blocking hormone blockers or putting these things into their bodies. So, you know, we have a certain responsibility with our liberty that God has given us as saved people. Hey, we should be reading the Bible. We should be keeping God's commandments. We should be in church. We should be out preaching the gospel. We should be doing good works, keeping the commandments. And we got to read our Bibles, folks. Get into your Bible. Even if you only can read the Bible for a few minutes a day, just read the Bible. And it's saying right here, day and night. Meditate in it. Learn something. I mean, we're learning in the Chronicles, and I just learned something new the other day. I didn't realize that Amasa was the nephew of King David. Who already knew that? One person. I mean, I'm a pastor. I didn't know that. People are like, you're a pastor and you didn't know that? Well, there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know either. So we all have a personal responsibility to read the Bible. But, you know, when you really dig into something, you're like, oh, I never realized that connection. You're just like looking at every name. You're like, who's that? That name sounds familiar. Shalem. Who's Shalem? You know, all these other things. So, but you're going to learn new things. It's not like you just read the Bible one time. It's like, okay, I know everything now. That's not how the Bible works. There's layers. So, but it says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? be strong and of a good courage. You notice that Moses, or I mean, God just keeps telling Joshua this over and over again. Because it's so important for us, because you know what? When we become weak and cowardly and not bold, that's when our liberty will be taken away from us. That's when our liberty to preach the gospel, our liberty to preach hardened churches, that's when our liberty to proclaim our religion, which is Christianity in this country, will lose it. Because if people aren't using their liberties, they're going to lose their liberties. And there, it shouldn't be just one set of churches making these big stands. You know, if everybody, if all the churches that have saved pastors would just stand up and stop talking about revival all the time, the revival is to get out and get your people soul winning, and you to get out with them and start preaching the gospel and start preaching hard in your pulpit. So everybody, if all 6,000 Baptist churches in this land start preaching hard sermons and start going out soul winning, it would make a difference. Because you know what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the more people we get saved, the more liberty there is. And God said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that what Jesus said too?
Yep.
He's going to be with us always. So turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Now you have this different account in the end of Luke where he's on the road to Emmaus and he meets up with a few disciples. Is it important for us to know the scriptures?
Yep.
Of course it is. And, you know, we have the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, where Jesus gives the specific Great Commission, right? It's more detailed in Matthew. And then the scope is given, and it's saying every creature in the whole world. And in Luke, we have this ending here where it talks, where he's on this road to Emmaus, he's walking with these two disciples, and it says in verse 44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. It is important for us to know the Bible. That's why Joshua, he was told, hey, meditate therein day and night. You need to know the Bible. Why do we need to know the Bible? So that we know where the things are, where it's talking about Jesus is, right? Where it's talking about Jesus in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And basically the whole Bible. You can find Jesus Christ imprint in the whole Bible in the Old Testament. And it says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And, you know, God's given us the Holy Spirit and we have the ability to understand them. We have no need that any man should teach us in reality. Amen. We should be able to read the Bible and understand it for ourselves. You know, he's given us pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints to help with admonishment, rebuke and reproof, and exhortation. But to understand doctrine and to know what the Bible says is our personal responsibility. We should do it so that we know what the Bible says ourselves. It says in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So it does have that commission there to preach repentance. Is it repentance of sins? No, because that's not salvation. It's repentance unto salvation. Because when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are remitted. And it says, should be preached in his name among all nations. See, it's not, again, not just at Jerusalem, but it says beginning at Jerusalem. And so in our church, our Jerusalem is Vancouver, Washington. And then we branch out from there and preach the gospel in every place. It says, and you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. Turn to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Christ was very clear with his commands, wasn't he?
Yep.
First in Jerusalem, then Judea, which is like would be the country, then Samaria, the country next door, and then the uttermost part of the earth. So that could be the furthest place from your doorstep, right? So he's given us dominion. Wherever the soles of our foot touch, that is what he's given to us to go and not conquer the heathen in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. Again, sword of the Spirit, preaching the word of God, and making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them the Bible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we're going to do our best as a church to proclaim that liberty, but we need people to stay with it. You can't just, we can't take a break. We really can't. You can take rest periods, but we can't just say, well, you know what, I'm going to stop serving for a couple years. We got to stay zealous. The more people we free from the devil and sin, the more freedom we're going to have. And we have to exercise our liberties, not just the ones that God's given us, but also the liberties that we've been afforded by our government. We are able to go to the government for our against them for our grievances against them. And we should be able to throw these laws in their face when they try to persecute us with them.
Amen.
But we know that we also live in Babylon, USA. So at some point God says, get out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of their sins. So there's going to be a point where he's like, you just need to go. If you're a believer, get out. But there's also going to be a time when people are going to be beheaded for their faith in what's called the Great Tribulation. And, you know, everybody's supposed to run that's a Christian at that point. But we don't run now. See, people want to go out into these, you know, and build silo, grain silo, you know, in these grain silos and have all these escape rooms and, you know, stock up on weapons with bunkers and all this other stuff. It's like, you're gonna be the first one fragged. You're going to be the first one blown up. So we're like, they're going to be like, we know this Christian has a silo here. Nuked. And God, you know, God can protect his people.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And look, even if you are a martyr, even if you do, you know, get killed during the tribulation, you have a martyr's crown.
Yeah.
You know, go out swinging spiritually. You know, not swinging physically, but swinging spiritually. So, number two, I said, we have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights on our side, specifically the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. I say number two because number one, we have the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and preach the Bible, preach the gospel, baptize converts in every place in the whole world. And if we stop using our rights, we're going to lose them. And that means we do stand and fight for our rights and let our voice be heard. These top 10 Karen bosses and Kens need to be told kindly at first, I would say.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they just go from zero to crazy, you know, it's kind of hard to be kind in that moment. I understand that. But I just tell them matter-of-factly, but, you know, that maintenance guy yesterday, why was that going on? Well, there was two people preaching the gospel at the time when that call came through to me. And he calls me up and he's like, you know, these people are all here and they got kids and everything. It's just like, yeah, okay. Like, oh, kids, they're terrifying, you know. The terrifying kids. Like, what's the deal? And what's the deal is that he's trying to stop people from getting saved. But see, God is faithful. And he said, they told me to F off. I was like, yeah, I'm sure. And this is the other thing, that they always lie too. They always want to lie and make it worse than it is. So I'm just going to, like they think I'm just going to call my church members up and go, did you really tell this guy to F off? No, I already knew what was going on in the group. I was watching it all go real time. I'm like, you know, the commander in chief, like watching, you know, burp, you know, they're like, you know, on their little radios or whatever. Oh, someone's preaching the gospel right now. Beep, you know. I'm just like, gold team, go, you know. record him, you know. But, yeah, so two people end up getting saved. There's people preaching the gospel right at that moment. So that's why the Karen bosses show up. That's why, you know, Ken, the maintenance man, shows up and then calls me and wants me to just stop this craziness. And then as soon as I said, well, listen, I was really nice, too. I just said, hey, man, you know, I know you're probably not going to like hearing this, but we do have the right to be there. And the Supreme Court has ruled. It's like, click, he just hangs up on me. So he wants me to just, and this is what they want. They want what they want. And this is what our world has taught people, is that you should be able to go to the manager and they're going to give you whatever you want. And when I talked to that Karen lady yesterday, or the day before yesterday, she actually called the police on me. The police called my phone. And they're like, some kids are running amok on the property. I'm just like, he left the message. I didn't call back. But, you know, he said, this is incident number or whatever. It's like, we didn't do anything wrong. So she's the one. I was like, lady, you're lucky that they didn't call the police on you. And she was like, oh, well, oh, you know, she's like one of those, oh, well, I never, you know, one of those types of people. And she goes, you need to obey the laws of the land. I said, yeah, except for if they're null and void by the Lord Jesus Christ. She's like, oh, you know, and I was just like, she just kept going on. She was like, you don't talk, you let me talk. And I was just like, you're talking to a man right now. I was like, nope, maybe a man's never talked to you like this before, but there's a man talking to you. You called me, I'm explaining to you what the Bible says and what we're allowed to do. And then I said, and then she just kept, you know, she wasn't going to listen to reason. She was just a satanic old hag, is what she was. And so I told her such and said, don't call me back. Stop calling me. And that's when, you know, a little bit later, she called the police or whatever. So, like, good luck. We got the law on our side.
Amen.
So, we are to obey the laws of the land, but, you know, when they're null and void when it comes to what the Bible says. So, there's RCW, whatever, whatever, dot, is that a RCW for here, Brother Alex, that you posted in the group yet? Washington State. Listen to this. It says, canvassing for religious purposes is not solicitation. It's not solicitation. You just throw that RCW in the police officer and just show it, you know, nicely, kindly. This is the RCW. The Supreme Court also ruled that apartment managers, HOA managers, cannot restrict our First Amendment right of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Only individual tenants, owners can request no trespassing orders from police. The apartment managers can't. They can say it all they want. They can put don't breathe on the sign, but does that mean we can't breathe when we go into the apartment complex? You're not allowed to breathe. Hold your breath. No. Those tenants must also tell us that they don't want us to come back. And that's fine. We're not there to badger people. Many call and do leave messages and go, don't ever come back. You know, they'll come home and see the card on their door and they'll go, don't ever call me, blankety blank, leave this trash on my door, such and such. And then I'll just like text back, what apartment number are you? I'm not telling you what apartment number I'm in. It's like, well, then how am I not supposed to not come back? Because I'm coming back at some point, you know. But they never do. They never want to leave that message. They never want to tell me what door, what place they're from. It's like, what do they believe, that we're going to come back and kill them or something? We're going to vandalize their apartment or their house or something? It's like, we're not you. We're Christians. We're not going to do that. But in order to take you off the knock list that we don't, you know, necessarily really have, but in order for us to not come back, you kind of got to tell us what your address is and what, you know, they just assume that like they were the one special door that we came to that day or something. Like, oh yeah, go to one door today, everybody. And then if they don't answer, then just write that address down. I mean, we go to hundreds of doors every week. Hundreds of doors. Like, they need to be able to tell us. So, we'll just make some quick application and I'm done. We have religious liberty now. Are you exercising it? Are you preaching? Are you homeschooling? Because we have the right to homeschool. Some countries don't have that right. Are you raising your children in a Christian home? And you're like, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but are you raising them in a Christian home? See, we have the right to do that now. But in some countries, you don't have the right to keep them out of school, out of the regular public school. You don't necessarily have the rights that we do in this country. And, you know, let's use those rights that we have so that we don't lose them. And Moses said, you know, in Numbers 11:29, he said, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Everybody, God wants everybody to preach. Not necessarily behind the pulpit, but he does want people to preach behind the pulpit, but everybody can preach. Are you going door to door with the gospel while we have the freedom to do it in this country? Our freedom of speech and freedom of religion are a rare thing in this world and in this nation. It can and will be taken away. So the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" If you're not doing it while it's easy, I don't believe you're going to do it when it's hard. I just don't believe you. So this is the training ground now when it's still fairly easy. The Karen bosses and the Ken bosses are few and far in between, and it happens, I guess, on a regular basis, but most of them aren't as extreme as what happened to Miss Crystal. But, you know, if you think think you're going to be some super saint and you're not soul winning right now, it's not going to happen. You know, so just get right and get soul winning if you're not going, or if you've fallen off of it or whatever. But we need to use our liberty to make men free. And Christ is the one that really makes people free. And all we're doing is preaching Christ to them so they can get saved. And I still want Americans to be saved. You know, I say a lot of stuff, and our country's going in a bad way, and there's not a lot of faith in the political system, but our faith should never be in a political system. You know, revival really is going to come at the church house. This country's going to be made right in the church house, not the White House. So we need to remember that. And if we don't use our liberty again, we're going to lose it. And I've said that a lot of times in this sermon. But there's a lot of people in bondage right now today that are counting on us to get to their door. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this great church. I pray that you'd help us to, and just remind us, Lord, on a regular basis, Lord, that, you know, we do have great freedom in this country. We have great freedom from you. And I pray that we would use the freedom and liberties that we have, Lord, while we still have them. Pray that you would just help us to be bold and strong and of a good courage, and remind us and help us to remind ourselves that you will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vain. And Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For through the mighty conflict in this is glorious day. Ye that are men now, serve him against unnumbered. Rejoice with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel.
Can you close us with a word of prayer?